Yeah, that's a good and complex question. His question was basically who sets the protocol for reporting and who regulates, who audits. So basically, to answer that briefly, there's no one third party that sets this. Well, there's no third party that's checking up on everyone, and that's actually a big problem right now in the industry. The WRI, the World Resource Institute, they set what's called the Greenhouse Gas Protocol, and that's kind of become the industry standard. The EPA has adopted most of their, or all of their design principles, and that is now, so they also have their own reporting standard. That, and so basically, at the moment, there's nobody really checking, and that's why there's really a need for transparency. So that's one thing that the current tools don't allow for. That we're hoping to change. Yeah, well, there are a variety of companies out there who are working on applications that do similar things, you're right. And right now, we are not aware of any that target universities specifically. So maybe they do, and if they do, you know, we'd love to about it. But no, I've never heard of another program that targets, you know, that's kind of our niche market. There's like 30 others or something that are targeting corporations. So, time's up. Thank you.
The Firefox plugin?
So at the back end, the technology uses essentially a JavaScript browser emulation software. For those of you familiar, it's a combination of Robot Framework and Selenium. And on the front end, we use essentially some more JavaScript. So we automate as much as we can. So you can really think of it as 80% automated and 20% human. So we really got a real fast team working at it. So this project was started 46 hours ago. I contacted some people using Elance. We've got people standing by as we speak. So tonight, it's in Bangalore, it's whatever, in the morning. So we're ready to use our product and pump away at it. So there will be a lot of bugs in it initially because each website is different and the websites that we've selected here are not necessarily been vetted completely because it's only been 46 hours, so it had to be written to. But at this point in time, I think the core technology exists. Maybe in about 10 days, we should have it all soon. The first group of people might get their browser plugins. We call it Solo Surf. Beyond that, there is a caretaking piece where we actually maintain it, which has a monthly revenue income stream. And we also have a refresher, where you keep refreshing your brand name on various websites. Which I have. I mean, that goes
way up.
Thank you.
Good questions. You don't get off that easy. Hey, Harlan, what's up? Hey, I love the idea. I'm a geek, so I'm like a GitHub SVN dude. But I'm also a marketer, and Fork This makes a lot of sense to you and probably not anybody else in the world. And
that's social forking.
Yeah, I actually like the fork concept as kind of that other hidden mission, but consider trying to figure out how to map the diff and the merging to some real, I mean, I look at it as almost like Microsoft, maybe steal or borrow from those kind of words.
It's like track changes when you're collaborating with 10,000 people.
Yeah, and try to make it, look at game theory as a way to try to increase
the speed. Thank you.
Questions if I have time. First, what are you going to do about IPR? Are you in Creative Commons? Do you have...
Yeah, so this is obviously a great tool to remix free IP, Creative Commons, etc. And the other, the answer to the private collaborations is the answer to the other part, and that's where we plan to monetize. Anything that you want to share for free, you do for free. Anything that you want to share privately, you know, you can pay $6 on $6.
Question if there's time is got 10,000 people that have to look at them one at a time.
Thank you. That's a really good point. There's actually a rating system, and so the highly rated versions will percolate to the top, and then, you know, I've made a screenplay idea, and 50,000 people have remixed it, so it's the highly rated ones that I'm interested in seeing the difference between just their latest and my latest, and, oh, merge in this cool thing they did in Act 2 with the character arc, but, you know, leave everything else behind. Great question.
Beyond, like, text-based output.
Sure. Yeah, great question. So we're starting with text because you got to start somewhere, but it could be a great tool for audio, for video, certainly for full, you know, rich. There's really no limit, especially if we have some success in the tech.
Comment. Well, I heard the name of the company yesterday, Fork This. I misheard it and thought you were a completely different type of company. not clear right now, so that's really cool.
Good, good. We can clear that up. We like our double entendres. We had a lot of good jokes on our team.
Yes, right. Anything else?
Pizza for us from Goat Hill the other day. Also another thing, Devil's Canyon Brewing Company, they gave us the keg for half off. So check it out.
Am I loud enough? Great.
So I had a friend actually build an iPhone app that you just like set it and then put it down and then it would call the phone, but it didn't, there was no, I mean, doesn't this provide the same sort?
Yeah. There's other factors like this ranking and scoring content on the sort of site in terms of which of your friends were most helpful to you, which bailed you out, which used the best excuse, all that kind of stuff. So there's some really cool. So
I like the creativity. You guys, did you guys do a merger?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I want to add that it's free and you don't have
to text message. When you got the feed, it was we wanted you to see what the experience would be like. Through the enable thing, you can just click on the link and it'll take you there. All you have to do is type in your phone number and have the ability to hit submit and it'll go.
One more question.
Nope.
How are you going to see that? I'm going to get a phone call. I'm going to be pretty late because I'm expecting a call to... You know,
what if
one of my friends is like
feeling
me out and I'm like sitting there waiting
for
somebody to come
out to do that? Absolutely. So that's why we offer a feature that actually gives you a call. That's why we offer a feature that gives you a call automatically using some fun voice messages we pre-recorded. So if your friends are lame and don't bail you out, then we'll bail you out. And you guys should definitely try. There's some funny stuff in there. We also offer excuses. To help you through the awkwardness. Okay, any other questions? Thank you.
And I did the merge choice. If you were to copy and paste the text into a system that will allow you to diff and merge it and then copy and paste it back into our system, yeah. Yes.
Is it good marketing to use a word that means a stupid person?
We're assuming that the kind of really intelligent, creative people that we're hoping to have on this site also have a really good sense of humor. So the sort of individuals that aren't going to take themselves too seriously, and really the focus of this site is around short form fiction. It's not about novels, it's about quickly getting something up there. So whereas Twitter is 140 characters, we're like under 5,000 characters. So think of us as a huge Twitter.
How are you looking to monetize this, and if so, how?
Definitely, we've looked at a number of ways we can monetize it. We've come up with at least four different models that could potentially work. There's obviously the Flickr-style model, which is where we have pro accounts that have advantages over regular unpaid accounts. Restrictions could be around the number of groups that you join, or around the amount of content that we're willing to save, because of course this is a central location for you to keep all of your content. We've also toyed around with the idea of just flat out asking everyone to pay to join this site. Advantage there is it's monetizable straight from day one. And we've also thought about further down the line the options for opening up this content to parties such as Amazon to sell through the Kindle store. In which case, of course, we would then take a small percentage of the profits from that transaction. All depends on us building this thing up and scaling.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I've got one more. In terms of the wider space, I've heard of quite a few communities focusing on independent writers. Is the difference that you guys are focusing on short-form fiction or ease of use? What's the...
Well, I'm actually going to bring Dan up to answer this question because he is very well versed in this particular area.
Well, what inspired me again was creating something that solved my own need. And I had an interesting experience with Flickr. I'm very, very into photography. And what's interesting about Flickr, we may think first it's just a place where everybody stores images. It's actually, it is that, but it's also a place where people learn to become great photographers. Through watching, looking a lot, and getting instant feedback loop. One of the best master classes you could ever have. Wanted to replicate that with fiction. I was curious to dabble in fiction. I looked all over the net. I can't safely post anything that I could do in a few hours. I'd have to spend, dedicate myself to being a writer. I don't know if I want to be a writer, but I'd like to see. Flickr let me do that with photography, and I have a career as a photographer now. Why couldn't that exist for fiction?
Yeah, and of course, following on from that, the fact that we've got this this feedback mechanism through the comments and the fact that you can discover new content using these story feeds, it creates a positive feedback loop. So rather than being discouraging to writers, it just encourages them to write more and more and develop their writing style. Okay. Thank you very much, everyone.
I've seen this come together over the weekend, and it's amazing. Hands down. I have a couple questions. As a former restaurant owner, what are the options for me to advertise in there? And then secondly, how much money do you make?
So what's great about food spotting is that people are following foods. So people are following dim sum. And so I can come to you as a restaurant and say, you have the opportunity to reach 3,000 followers by posting a message to people who are following dim sum. Would you like to do that? And so you're reaching people when they're hungry, when they're looking for dim sum, and they're nearby. And then second of all, you have the opportunity to reach people by posting to your own restaurant page where people can follow you or look there for coupons and specials. And we've been exploring some creative ways to track how many people actually come based on food spotting. And then funding-wise, I mean, we're thinking about hiring an iPhone developer to help us get the first version off the ground and make it this awesome user experience that we have in mind, because we think that's a big differentiator. So they're looking for about $25K. And then, in addition to some of the other costs, looking about $50K to get it off the ground.
Cool. Super awesome. I'm an investor, but I'm gonna tell you first and foremost, don't take money if you don't have to.
Yeah.
This idea is perfect for what I call customer financing. Find a magazine or somebody that's got a strong interest in food, and have them pay you to build this. Own 100% of it, and maybe give them some kind of exclusivity around some category or city. Because this is awesome. It needs to exist. And what you guys have right there, oh my gosh, I've seen people pitch, that was beautiful. Like, amazing demo. Yeah, they just say, give us the money and we'll build it in 3 months, right?
So, I mean, we've already have in there, like, the 7x7 scavenger hunt, so you can check out if you do try it. I mean,
it's like Foursquare meets Yelp meets, like, a visual foodie lover. Yeah, totally. Hot space.
In the middle.
Are you guys having a database for resolving various fillings from food names, especially the square ones, and they're giving away food?
Yeah, so she asked about how we're going to handle multiple names for the same food, and we've been thinking a lot about that, and I actually have a lot of friends in the semantic web space who promise me that an ontology will solve all my problems, but I mean, simply, we could also just have people get points for adding that metadata and correcting it. So,
also, perhaps restaurants that become sponsors get to see what titles or dish names people have put in for that restaurant, and they have an opportunity to correct it as well, since they're the and choose a photo to feature, since they're the authority about food at that restaurant.
And then, yeah, one more then.
I also think it's a wonderful idea. One other thing you may want to consider adding is, in addition to the food, any nutritional information for people who have special dietary needs, diabetics, people who are borderline diabetics, you can have a network of nutritionists who can add information to this, people who are, so it adds much more than just connoisseurs, but you actually get information. It's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, he mentioned adding nutritional data, and that's interesting, because there's actually an app called My Food Phone that's just it lets you track what you're eating just by taking pictures of it, and without even that data, that can help you manage what you're eating, because every time you eat it, you have to think about it and take pictures. So that's a good idea. Thank you so much. And thanks to everybody who's helped us this weekend.
Now, how did you recruit our networkers, or how are you going to reward them?
Lucky enough to know some of them, and they're lucky enough to know some more people. I'm fairly active on Twitter, and so there's a few people through there who are, you know, the kind of people who have thousands of connections, and they're already eager to get on board.
Curious in terms of competition? I mean, is there a risk that something like LinkedIn could easily add this as a feature?
I think it'd be easier for LinkedIn to buy us than to build it. I'm going a bit more in the direction of paid research, of posting jobs, of more corporate. They're not really helping consumers. If they wanted to build this, they could have built this by now. All my data is in LinkedIn, but there's nothing prompting me to come back and use it every day and really use it as my, you know, means of powering my network. Thank you.
What was your exact monetization plan?
Our monetization plan is we are going to look to utilize some. Can I look at my book? Sorry. I know that we have premium memberships that we're going to offer. We will have, of course, a free version where you'll be limited on the number of photos that you can upload. I'm not sure if you'll be able to upload video to your journal at that point. Oh, Ron knows the answer.
Will you be able to print out these as books to our partners?
Oh, right. That's how it is. I forgot. One of the things that makes us unique is that we are offering the ability to, at the end of your project, or whatever it is that you've completed journaling, an option to, we have three different options for how you can share it after you've completed it. They can continue to read it online. You could print it out yourself. We can have it put onto a CD where you have all of your photos, all of your video will be included, and that will go through one of our affiliate partner programs, as well as we can have it professionally published and bound, and it can be delivered to you in book form. So if you're using it for something of a little bit more of a business professional type aspect, then having that available either by CD that you can send out to other people or publishing it so that it's there for future reference for employees as they come in.
Just a couple of quick questions. It's 40 weeks, but it can be for any chronological time period. It could be 51 weeks.
Absolutely. We actually have another story that we didn't have the time to get up on there, but it was detailing a seven-day vacation, and because it was only 7 days, the start date and the end date were very close, so then we were allowed to enter a daily entry, whereas with the weeks, we could only enter one entry per week. So if you have something that's going to say go on for a year, you can opt to do it by week or by month, whichever is going to be, it's going to be customizable for you.
I mean, from my perspective, I understand why you're pushing the chronological focus, but I thought the whole idea of like a scrapbook, lifebook, journal, everything coming together was more appealing rather than just stressing the chronological order.
We went with the chronological order on it because right now, if I want to go check out what's going on with my friend, and I go to her blog, in order to find out what's going on, I get to scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page and read backwards, which is very confusing. It's very difficult to follow. So in having it set up so that the weeks are on the left-hand side, it's easy to navigate. You can know where you left off. If you left off reading at week 25, great, you pick up on week 26, and you don't have to go through pages and pages of information to find what you're looking for. Did I answer that correctly? Okay. Anything else? No? Perfect. Thank you.
Just one question I have. In terms of competition, back to recruiting, is anybody out there in the same space as you? You guys completely unique? I haven't heard of anybody doing what you're doing.
No, it's a novel business model. There's a company, the only company that does something similar is NotchUp, but they do, they solicit candidates to tell companies, pay me $500 to interview, but that's it. There's no service to vet that candidate if it really fits your specific needs or anything of that nature. It's a novel business model. Paper interview, it's scalable. It makes sense for the company, and it makes sense for the candidate, and it makes sense for us as a company to be profitable really quickly.
Yeah, good question.
Sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to. So you actually just mentioned this is definitely a data-driven model. So what you do with that as an organization, and then turn around and monetize off what we put in on that. I think once you do build that out with a good set of employers, I would start looking at
possibly looking into more of a headhunter type market, because I know there's a lot of people out there that still have time to pursue all the opportunities that come along. So particularly if you have a set of a core hub employers that are linked to a lot of other databases too, that would be really valuable pay for premium type of service.
Yeah, absolutely. So we tend to be more efficient as our database grows, obviously, because we need to be more and more people. But we're very focused on entry-level and mid-level jobs that pays less than $100,000. Because anything above that, in terms of either seniority or payment, probably requires more in-depth projects. So we are focusing on entry-level, mid-level, and below 100K. That's our target audience, and small businesses. Small businesses. Yeah.
How do you find your candidates?
Oh, we serve as proxy of the company. So we post the ad, the resumes come to one single email. We look for only active candidates. We don't look for passive candidates.
Where do you post your ads?
On free job boards, social media, and if the customer wants to, let's say, post on simply, not simply I, but Monster or Craigslist, by all means, we'll do that. But any other pocket is on the employer. Yeah.
So I think this is a really interesting idea. And as someone who sometimes hires software engineers, my issue with recruiters is that often they can't really technically screen the candidates. And so I get people who can't even program their way out of a wet paper bag. Right? And so how are you planning to do, are you planning to do screening? I mean, obviously, you're probably not going to be able to employ software engineers to do the screening.
So that's a great question. And the reason is because I have a great answer. We're not going to focus on technical recruitment because it is a well-served market. It's a well-served market. Whereas in other type of jobs like sales, marketing, biz dev, account, low-level accounting, low-level other things, we can do a much better job. However, once we scale, we probably will be able to have virtual recruiters who will be able to screen technical or developers, software developers and things of that nature, and we will be able to do that. So we definitely see that in the horizon. We don't see it right off the bat. Okay? Yeah.
So is it the flat fee that it's put value, or are you guys also able to reduce the cost of recruiting? Okay. And then my question is, how do you manage your costs and make them lower than, say, the recruiters doing it themselves, or like, a staffing firm just getting people to do these jobs? Like, so how do you guys sort of manage the costs that you guys have, and or is it just that you're offering them a flat fee as a control cost? And that's the bottom line.
So you control the cost. As our customer, you control the cost. You can interview nobody, or you can do interview 10. But as we forecasted, we project about 3 interviews per open position, so you know roughly what your cost is going to be. We can do that because we share the revenues with virtual recruiters, people that work out of homes, retirees, people who worked at HR and now wanting to work in a different environment. And we factored in the payout to them. That's roughly, what's ended up to be the payment to them, that's roughly $50,000 to $60,000 in salary, and that's enough to incentivize people to work out of homes and do that on a half-time, full-time basis. So that's how we do it. And we want to shrink the recruiting market because we think it's broken. It's just too much money. Maybe headhunters that find CEOs, yes, but not entry-level jobs, mid-level jobs. So we want to shrink that market. It's a $20 billion market.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. So questions in the back over here.
Yes, that's part of the it works part that we're figuring out. But in terms of who the stylists are, the stylist, in the end, the stylist is going to be the engine. It's going to be like, hail, how? The stylist is going to be the engine. Yeah, eventually, but it's going to be built on, but at the first it's going to be crowdsourced. So it's going to be aspiring stylists, 20-somethings who really have a really great fashion sense, who are going to log on, like currently they log on to Polyvore and they'll spend hours on there creating outfits, but they're going to create outfits for other people. What?
But I haven't finished answering that one yet. What was the other one? What was the other question? No, I think it was about the labels. So the image, I'm answering. The question was, the second question was, are you going to, like, you know, have it be able to read the labels? Yes. So when you upload your images or when you hopefully select them from our huge-ass, like, store of manufacturer data, it's going to, if you upload an image, it'll recognize, ideally, the label and any logoing. So it knows exactly what it is. It's going to have to be intelligent with images as well. And it's also going to have to, well, that's as far as I'll go. The third question was how to get into the database. It needs to be really easy. So it's got to be like, okay, I remember, okay, I got a black shirt from Banana Republic and I bought it 2 years ago. And it's called, I see on the label it says da-da-da. And you'll enter that and it'll say, is it this one? No, is it this one? It's that one. And you just one by one enter them in. It's got to be really fast, though. And for the things that you got at your vintage store, your local vintage store, you upload the image to that. The more items you upload, the better the app is going to be, right? If it only has one pair of shoes that you want to match with something, that's great. But you got to have your whole wardrobe in there, and you can do that gradually.
I have a question. Okay, it sorts and picks all the stuff that you wear. What if the clothes are dirty?
Yeah, but that's the part of it works. So, wait a minute.
So, I gotta wear something that's dirty, right? Okay,
No. If it's dirty and it comes up in the shuffle, if it gets shuffled, then there's gotta be a way to just kind of like, no, that's not an option. And it automatically reshuffles. No, you don't reshuffle. You say, no, this is out. And it's, and then it just goes, oh, this one. Okay, right here.
What if all your clothes are dirty?
What? Who wants to sign up for beta? What if all your clothes are dirty? Yeah, you gotta find a way to have it relevant, don't you? Yeah.
Buy some more.
Real time fashion advice. Everything can be.
Last one. I just wanted to let you guys know there's another startup called Plus Tour that actually, I think, made it to TechCrunch 50. And they've had like cool tool features. And now they're relaunching the tour features. So
That's really good to know. What is it called again?
Closet Tour.
Closet Couture. That sounds like too high end for most people. Yeah, so. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Through RDF and how semantic technologies and do you have the expertise on your team to be able to deliver that?
No, sir. We created the ranking engine for e-powers, and we think we have the expertise to like tap into the ranking and the recommendations. But these guys are awesome. They created the whole prototype and tried it out for them. Before I came on Saturday morning, they blew me away.
Yeah. Alright.
Thank you. Feedbacks. I'll spend more time with people developing how to test materials than I thought I'd ever work. And I think it's also good about business, it's entertaining. Sitting in the question and having it be a really, really boring, online experience. Another thing to point out is that I'm sure you're aware that health insurance companies and corporations are paying people to do health risk assessments now, so there is an interesting marketplace you can put into. I think my only thing, question would be is, the actual underlying lifestyle factors, comorbidities, index that you're tracking, how much of this is fun, how much of this is based on real hard health info?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We actually did a scientific algorithm We found three literature values to support at least three of these questions here. Like actual smoking actually decreases your life by 10 years if you smoke for, you know, cigarettes a day. We will, of course, need consultancy on a number of experts at UCSF to legitimize these algorithms. And so V2 will have the reflective accuracies built in. But it will cost you a dollar.
Are you
going to
have any liability issues?
Yes. So we will need a disclosure statement at the landing page. This is only an estimate. We do have four precedented sites that are doing the very same thing who have such disclaimers. And again, this is an entertainment, but appealing method to get an awareness, self-awareness of our different bodies. Thank you.
I'm sorry. This is one part of a three-part network. They're actually going to be launching on Wednesday. It's a food network that's going to be promoting local sustainable eating habits, and it's also promoting saving money. So we're going to be basically this site that's launching on Wednesday is kind of like Yelp plus Twitter minus all the crap about bad dates. Times Foursquare times PayPal.
Yeah.
Yes. So the public beta that is starting Wednesday. Don't have time to talk about it now, but if you're interested, let me know.
Woo! The inventory impact easier because I find that whole approach is going good stuff basically.
Okay, so we are very, very interested in trying to form partnerships with grocery stores, especially those that already have club cards that are already out there tracking your information. They know what you buy, they know when you buy it. There's no reason we shouldn't have access to that. And this is my personal opinion, I wouldn't pitch it to them like this, but there's no reason we really shouldn't be able to have access to our data to be able to import it into the systems that we want to use to manage our information. So getting them to somehow give that information to us.
Very easily you can white label that.
Yes. And actually starting out with some of the
Is there any way that you can get it to mash up with wardrobe shuffle and tell me what to wear while I'm eating? Yeah. If I'm eating salmon or like eggplant or something like that,
there actually are a bunch of different things that we're looking into putting in there, so maybe even a computer-generated recipe, so predictive what might taste good. So there's a whole bunch of features that could go, and I'm really interested in exploring that. So if anybody else is as well, please let me know. Yes?
Weight Loss Initiative, hi, this is WhyYou'reFat.com.
Or Daily Burn.
For weight loss, you just tie in with relevant images from thisiswhyyourefat.com.
We really want to take a positive spin. Promote people being healthy, not kind of making fun of people. Yeah. Yes?
I just wanted to mention, you didn't know St. Clair already has a program like this called Flex.
Right. I actually went to that site on Saturday and tried logging in with the account that I've had there, and ASPX was not able to load the page. Actually, one thing they are, and that's another big thing, is that Safeway's program, or say if Lucky had a program, or any of the other major retailers had a program, it would still be only the stuff that they're selling. They're not going to be promoting and providing a venue for other retailers to, share their information. So what we really need to have is open data transport to mean retailers who have our information and a system that we can use to manage our information. And that's my take on it.
The question I have is, there seems to be a lot of cooking sites on there that do this recipe suggestions based on what's in your cupboard or whatever you're looking for. Why are you guys doing this?
They don't keep track of what you have in your fridge. That's the problem. You didn't have a pitch the other night, probably. I work 50 hours a week. I work 60 hours a week. I spend an hour and a half getting to and from work each way. I end up not getting home from work till 9 o'clock. I go in the kitchen, I look in the fridge. I don't have what I need to make anything. Have to go to the store, have to come back from the store, have to make my food, have to eat my food, have to clean up after my food, and I fall asleep in the mashed potatoes. Or I end up eating burritos all night a week. Which, for a single person, it's Okay, how many of you, when you've been single, have had that happen?
Oh, come on!
Come on,
ever!
At least once. Anybody? No. Okay, on a regular basis, though.
Yes.
And the other thing is, you know, you have that bag of green soup in the back of your fridge. You don't know where it came from. And then you realize, oh, that's spinach.
Thanks, guys. Green soup. I have it all the time.
Here in service, I was a little bit concerned, but I think you've done a really good job of explaining why you're different, and particularly tapping into the network, and this whole idea of measuring impact and influence. I think that's a really cool idea. One of the things I'm hearing all about now is like micro volunteerism, so things like the extraordinaries. Mm-hmm. Are those a potential partner for what you're
Absolutely.
Doing?
Absolutely. So I've already been introduced to a person that has created an iPhone app for micro volunteering called Catalyst, something along that line, Mary Myrick. We're already going to have a conversation. I mean, she's already sent me a message to say, how do we partner? I'm very familiar with extraordinaries. They're doing a fantastic job of getting young people to do micro-volunteering on the phone, on the plane. So working with them, leveraging those opportunities. The idea is to get the people, the right people, into the network to influence their network. And it's really about pulling people in. The website's going to have a bit of a sarcastic undertone, as you can tell, the I Give a Damn Network. There really, at the end of the day, should be no excuse that anyone shouldn't be involved in some kind of giving back to their community.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Any questions from the audience? Yes. I'm sorry? I'm not familiar with the Taproot Foundation. So this is really kind of the marketing, the target, the communities around young adults, young professionals. They're going to have tools that are catering to that particular audience as well. Again, I haven't seen in all the research and all the time a community that's dedicated to the people that can make the volunteerism really kick started in their communities. Yes?
I just had a comment. One of the things you said I thought was fascinating, which is, you know, how you're recognizing somebody's bringing two people and they're bringing three people. And the analogy is it's the multi-level marketing for karma. You influence people and you make a bigger difference.
It's, you know, you can see impact over time, and it's not necessarily about that. You know, some people have made suggestions, like, why don't you give karma points, or why don't you give, you know, at the end of the day, it's about what you're doing. It's about, you know, you are serving a community in some which way, shape, or form. It's time, it's energy, it's making an impact on some level, and we have to go the extra step to figure out what that is. And sometimes people just need to, you know, connect that service with what they're doing and be amongst their friends and feel comfortable in order to want to do it again. And that, for this site, is the success metric. Yes?
Have you, I know that one of the big problems with working with nonprofits is that you spend so much time finding where to host your events and finding all these places and then actually hosting them there. You know, it can be 2 days for one event.
Right.
I don't know if you know of one or if it's a feature that you might be interested in, but having some sort of comprehensive form that pushes everything out to the other things, the other sites that would have your tag that would then bring people back to the site.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's a lot. There are services that kind of do that, and we're not trying to replicate that. So Volunteer Match is awesome. You know, we could probably pull a feed from that. Our focus is really to get that community. But there's going to be a lot of opportunities to partner, for sure. There's one more question in the back. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of opportunities. I'm getting a lot of feedback on cool new features and things, and right now it's just phasing out. So we're on phase one. We're definitely going to get to all the things that are mentioned and more, and it's going to definitely be community-driven. So if you guys have any feedbacks, ideas, suggestions, please contact me. All the information's up on the website. Thank you guys for your time.
I think we need to use that for Startup Weekend.
Yeah, Women 2.0 too.
Women 2.0 as well.
Oh, I thought you were going to...
I didn't see where that was coming from.
Question I have is just in terms of the types of gifts. The examples you gave were physical objects, roller skates, Beatles albums, etc. But because you're leveraging the network to get a diverse range and evolve over time, what about different types of gifts, experiences? How important could this be?
Yeah, well, it could be anything under the sun. It could even be services. You know, it's something where you could even have, let's say it's for yourself, and you're embarrassed to ask your friends for help. Let's say you need a ride to the hospital every Tuesday. You might put that down as a desire, and then your friends could see that, and they could fill that gift. And it could be anything that is a suggestion. We use gifts because it's most likely going to be used, but it could be almost anything out there, and it could be virtual gifts, pretty much anything that you could suggest, gift or service that you can do for another person. And you had a question, right?
Three thoughts. One is this, and you may have mentioned this, I'm sorry, is this a strictly Facebook application?
No, it's we're starting, you know, we start with Facebook because they have 175 million users, but it will go on all the social networks. Also, we're going to have our own webpage, and the information from the social networks will get pulled into our own webpage. So most of the activity will probably be on whatever social network is your big network. But let's say you've never been on a social network and Christmas comes and you want to go shopping. You can come to our site and get the information from these social networks and actually go shop for somebody based on that information being pulled in.
Also, most of the social websites have birthday reminders, and wouldn't it make sense to...
Oh, absolutely. That's a choice. You could ask for reminders, and also you could ask not only just for reminders for dates. You could also say, I want a reminder whenever somebody makes a suggestion for this person, because it'd be the difficult person to shop for. So maybe it could be June, and suddenly you get this pop-up says, for Christmas, I found this really rare book that so-and-so would like. You better grab it now. And you could also aggregate it. Let's say five different people, or let's say you have some really expensive gift. You could communicate with your friends to aggregate your sort resources to buy one expensive gift for somebody. Thank you very much.
Comments, feedback?
Oh, sorry. Birds of a feather flock together. Find your flock. So it was designed to be, you know, pretty generic across religions, to not exclude or make people feel excluded.
That makes sense, but it's the pile part that doesn't...
It piles everything together. So all the religious organizations in your city, it will be available for you to view.
There's a pile of flocks.
Yes, a pile of flocks.
Yeah. How do you aggregate all of
them? Map AP feeds from Google, API feeds.
How do you know which of the institutions, if I can put this, how do you get all the cookies institutions that you search that from, where do you collect that data from?
The question is, how are we going to collect the data and get it all on the site? The first avenue right now is using the free API from Google and getting business listings based off of your search criteria. And what we're trying to do is fill the site with that and allow organizations to come on the site and put your information for your organization on the site, and you tell the site more information about, you know, what you offer, and to make it all community driven and community built, so to speak, and then the community can add reviews and.
What's your strategy getting people to the site in the first place? How you go grow this, basically?
Social marketing, friends of friends, word of mouth. We're not quite sure on that, but we think it will gain traffic, publicity, and we think it serves a purpose.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Matching up as well. I think that's very, very intuitive. Where do you see revenue? I mean, I saw you guys were saying about like doing some like branded system or some advertising.
Our initial idea was maybe to add some ads, but
like one simple idea I had was
Initial idea was maybe adding advertising. I had one idea. Is that too loud? I had one idea. When you click on the tabs for the different types of code, maybe it could pop up like a little link to like, so like a reference book at Amazon or somewhere you could click to buy or something. That's just one simple idea. Maybe further down the line, there could be some kind of premium subscription thing, like for if you want to store multiple samples of code or something, or some advanced, you know, feature or something.
So would you be able to like offer this for like Ruby developers or PHP developers?
Yeah, this was just what we were doing initially, was CSS, HTML, JavaScript. Yeah, if we continue with it, then we would look into adding tabs for other types of code as well.
And you'd probably run it on Sun Microsystems hardware, right?
Yeah!
Sure! Woo-hoo. Yeah.
If we get sponsorship.
Thank you.
No question, come on.
Woo!
Okay, well, thanks for that. I'm almost speechless, but in terms of karma index, karma mapping is always linked to a geographical location, or could it be an action, or how big could this be? Sorry. Are we talking about a karma IPO, or what?
Well, my vision is, if somehow I can get time to make money, I would do an open API. So basically anyone could create karma maps on any application, integrate it, sharing that, and create some kind of new way to share information graphically, simply, with a standard, which would be, I know, red for evil, or blue for nice, or blue, no, blue is sad, is it? No, we'd go to blues, yeah. Sorry.
I see. Amen. Ray, you've heard a lot of karma, keeping me company for 3 days straight here. This guy has been here. And I know he's going to save a lot of hotel, but I mean, he's really kept me a lot of company. It's been really lonely when all the rest of you leave at night.
Just join me.
Thank you, Frank. Fantastic.
Good job.
No question. Let's have a drink. Cheers. Oh, by the way, just I don't know if some of you remember, I did start my speech Friday about crowdfunding. I'm still working on that, and I would like to thank the people I did meet. Are very serious people, and this is a very big serious project. I'm going to work on it for a month, something which is going to change basically everything in finance. It's a big thing, there's a huge risk, I'm not sure to make it. So if any of you have a contact, I'm looking for a teacher from Berkeley University, from Stanford, from MIT, who would be specialized in finance. And if any of you have someone, or microfinance, if one of you have this kind of contact, just come and see me. Thank you.